Time now for NHL Hour with Bill Clement and Commissioner Gary Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM204.
And welcome, everyone, to the NHL Hour. Gee, it's good to be back in the seat. We took a week off last week. NHL Home Ice, XM204 and NHL.com. Let me spit out the phone number right away. It's 877-645-6696, 645-6696, the email address, NHLHour@NHL.com. I am here at the NHL store, powered by Reebok, and I look across, and we have not gotten your cardboard cutout yet, and that's wrong.
Well, no, I think that's right. The cardboard cutout of me could turn out to be a dartboard, so I'm not so sure we want to be doing that. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How's your week been? What have you been doing?
My week has been hectic. First of all, let me apologize to you and our listeners for missing last week. It's the first time that I got caught in such a crunch in the course of doing these shows over the last 30 weeks or so that we missed one. We've managed to do it from Utah, from Toronto, from all over the place, but last week I was unavoidably preoccupied with something else. But, you know, it's funny because people think that once the Stanley Cup final is over that, you know, you can't believe the number of people who say, oh, you away for the summer? You on vacation? And when June is actually one of our busiest months on the calendar. Just for example, I've been in Toronto since yesterday morning. The goaltender equipment working group met yesterday. The awards special is tonight, obviously, on CBC and Versus at 8 o'clock. During the day, we had a series of meetings, and we had a business partner summit up here in Toronto. They actually, as a group, played golf yesterday, and I couldn't do that because I was busy with the goaltender working group. The competition committee meets tomorrow. There's a board meeting in New York next Wednesday. The entry draft events begin next Friday. First round is Friday night. And then July, we start with free agency and the schedule release and trying to finalize the Winter Classic. I'm not asking for any sympathy. I'm just trying to make the point that, okay, the games are over, but doesn't mean we get to go on vacation, which is something I've promised my family I'd do some point this summer. Because once we get to September, I hope so.
It's got to be August, right? I mean, of all of the months in the year, which is your least condensed month?
Actually, my least condensed 48 hours is Christmas Eve and Christmas Day because we're not playing any games. And so there are very few issues that rise to the fore because nobody's complaining about officiating or anything else. And most people are focused on other things, not just because we don't have any games, but because of the holidays. But it is a good time, and I think we've had a very good season, strong season. Doesn't mean we can't do better, and it doesn't mean we won't try to do better, but television ratings were great, attendance set records, revenues set records, the game on the ice was I think terrific, and we're getting ready to do it all again, and that's the beauty of this. Although I guess I should point out, it's a little unfortunate, Bill, that you're in New York and I'm in Toronto, only for the fact that this is the last show we're going to do until next September. We are going to go on vacation at least for this 1 hour a week. To our listeners, I apologize, but we're going to lighten up both Bill's and my schedule just for a couple of months, but we promise to be back in September because I don't know about you, Bill, but I have a lot of fun doing this.
It's fantastic. And by the way, we should at least get together for lunch since we don't get to be face-to-face for the last show. I'll get my people to call your people. Yeah. And my people would be me calling your people, if that's okay.
Actually, that means you should call me, and we'll do
okay.
Lunch. Let's do
that.
Lunch. That will be good.
Okay. By the way, what's your official role at the awards special tonight? What do you have to do? Do you have an address to make? What's going on there?
I have a brief speaking part in the presentation of an award that we haven't previously presented. And I will not go into further detail. I want everybody to either tune in Versus or the CBC at 8 o'clock, and then you'll see.
So this is an award that has not even been promoted? We don't even know what the award is yet?
I think that's correct, actually.
Wow.
You know, so we're going to do something a little different, a little unusual, and hopefully people will find it a very poignant moment in the telecast. The award show is something special. It's not something that the other major sports do the way we do. And it's something we're really proud of because our guys handle themselves, meaning our players, just magnificently in these proceedings that we have. So I haven't spoken to you since the last game of the final. What did you think?
Right. It was awesome. It was the only thing that could have been better would have been a game seven. It was really compelling. Well, but then again, last year was compelling, and so was the year before. But I thought it was fantastic. Just the dramatic way that game five ended, and the people at the Joe, as you know, in Detroit, went from euphoria to abject depression, silence, and then saw it go away in triple overtime, moving to Pittsburgh, and then have Detroit play just an outstanding game, and Pittsburgh almost tied at the end. It was, I don't know, I mean, for a six-game series, I can't remember one that was that good.
It was a terrific series. You know, once the series starts, if I start rooting for length, then people think that I care how any game comes out, and I don't.
Right.
It plays out on its own, and you need to be very clear about it these days. But the fact of the matter is, we saw some fun hockey. It was entertaining. It was exciting. You know, it was actually interesting because at my media availability before game one, it was clear to me that there was so much anticipation and expectation as to what this series was going to be, and I was really concerned about whether or not it could fulfill the hype. And frankly, after the first two games, when Pittsburgh, I believe, hadn't scored a goal, I was concerned that my concern was a legitimate concern.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh came back nicely. You know, and there's stuff going on around the league. What, we've had two coaching announcements this week. The Leafs hired Ron Wilson, and the Sharks today hired Todd McClellan, who had been with Detroit. I guess it does pay to win the Cup. And I think, Ottawa, Atlanta, Los Angeles, and Tampa are all going to be looking or are looking for coaches.
Yep.
So, you know, it's pretty good. Lots going on.
Lots going on. Bill Clement in New York. Commissioner Gary Bettman is in Toronto. Our phone number, 877-645-6696. This is our last show, so if you've got something on your mind, you want to get something off your chest, today is the day to do it. 877-645-6696. Our number, be glad to take your call. By the way, Gary,
Slow down one thing. Last show of the season. You made it sound too permanent, like we weren't going to do this again. By popular
the
demand.
The hockey year.
I just want to make sure.
Not the calendar year.
Right. This is the last show of the season. How sweet
it is. Did I say the phone number okay?
I don't remember. Say it again.
877-645-6696.
So on that note.
645-6696. By the way, I just want to know, did you see Chris Osgood and Nick Lidstrom on Jay Leno last night, or did you get a chance to see it?
They did a nice job.
That was fun.
It was fun, and it's always good to see our game and our players get the attention they so richly deserve. And speaking of attention people richly deserve, and you having just given the number, why don't we start with the phone calls? And on that note, Tony in Arizona, you're on XM204 with Bill and Gary. How are you?
Very well, and congratulations, Mr. Commissioner, on a very good season and a resurrection of our great sport. I think you've done a lot of good things to make this sport a lot better, and I, as a permanent season ticket holder with the Coyotes, appreciate much that you've done.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being a season ticket holder and for being a fan.
Pardon me?
Thank you for being a season ticket holder and for being such a fan.
Well, you're welcome, and I do appreciate the sport. I do have a question, Commissioner, on the situation with the goalies' pads.
Yes.
You know, I'm very happy with as a hockey traditionalist, with the goals. You know, we've had some high-scoring games, but I think we're averaging about 2.5 goals per game. You would know that better than myself.
Actually, we're averaging about 5.6 from the past season, down from about 5.9 last season.
Now, what is your position on, because I've read some on some websites where you're supporting or there's going to be some type of change in the goalies' pads to make them smaller, and you know, I would love to see the goals for and goals against remain as they are. They're pretty consistent with hockey history. And what's your position on that, sir? And I'll just sign off at this point. And thanks again for the good season.
Thank you, and thank you for calling in. My position, which frequently gets portrayed as something other than what it is quite simple. If you're looking at history and tradition, the one thing that's clear is that the goaltenders now cover more of the open space of the net than they ever did before. And that's a function of two things. One is the goaltenders are, as human beings, bigger than they've been. They're taller. They weigh more, and that's fine. And that's nothing we would do anything about. And the second is their equipment has gotten bigger, disproportionate to their bodies. And we had a meeting yesterday, a working group that consisted of a number of current players, both goaltenders and skater shooters, and some general managers, team executives, who have all been former players, some played goaltender and some were shooters as well. And the sense of the committee was there are things we could do to get the equipment smaller and open up a little more space for shooters to see and shoot at. And I think if there were two overriding principles, the first is that the equipment should be proportionate to a goaltender's body. And secondly, that the equipment shouldn't be any larger than is necessary for the injury protection of the goaltender. The purpose of equipment isn't to block more space. The purpose of the equipment is to protect the goaltender against getting hurt. And in order to do this exercise of proportionality perfectly, we're going to need to measure every goaltender. Equipment's going to have to be remolded and manufactured. And that will take time, and we will work in that in the course of the season. But the other thing that the committee, the working group, did yesterday was come up with a series of recommendations as to where existing equipment can be slightly modified to make it a little bit smaller, the catching glove, the blocker, the pads, the chest protector, in the short term, so that the goaltenders, as a general rule, aren't wearing more equipment than they need to be protected as opposed to blocking the puck. So I was encouraged at the spirit of cooperation yesterday. There's a lot of work to be done to follow up, but I think we'll see some changes. Competition Committee will review the findings tomorrow, but assuming the Competition Committee is comfortable with the working group on goaltenders' recommendations, if they're comfortable with it, I think you'll see some changes next season, which will be demonstrable. And I think over the next year, we'll get in a position to make sure we get the goaltender equipment exactly to where it should be.
Gary, will it follow that little guys can't wear equipment as big as big guys?
Well, actually, the notion is that the equipment should be proportional to your body.
The big goalies will be at a real advantage.
Well, it depends on how agile they are. This actually comes down to the skill. The fact of the matter is, somebody my size in any sport is always going to be at a disadvantage compared to somebody your size or bigger. But that's just the fact of sports. We don't want to have the goaltenders bigger than they need to be protected. That's not what playing that position is all about. Let's go to our next caller, which would be Roy in Texas. You're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Well, I just want to say it's an honor speaking to you, Commissioner. It was another great season. Although my Sharks didn't win, I'm still happy for them. But the question I want is there a way that we can make an agreement so that the shows I listen to as I'm driving on XM 204 can be broadcast on the NHL network, kind of like the way Mike and Mike does their ESPN?
Well, actually, I have a question for you. If you're in Texas, how did you become a Sharks fan as opposed to a Stars fan?
Well, I'm from California. I live in California.
I
drive around I'm a truck driver, so I drive all around the country, and I just happen to be in Texas.
Got it. Well, the answer to your question is NHL Live, which EJ Raddick does with Don LaGreca every day, every weekday from noon to 2 is simulcast on the NHL Network. So you can get them on XM and you can watch it on the NHL Network. And they replay it starting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's on right now. I'm watching it in the studio. We haven't decided whether or not we're going to simulcast this show next season, but I think there's probably a good chance that they'll beat me into submission and have me do it. And so you can see it both on the NHL Network, listen to it on XM. It gets replayed, and you can also, this show can be downloaded off NHL.com onto your iPod or your other personal digital devices. So we are available in a number of medium. You can get us how you want us, just about when you want us. And so we think it's a good suggestion, and it's one that we've pursued.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, and safe driving.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. John in Nova Scotia, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204.
Thank you for taking my call today, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I have to say again, I love this program. I try not to miss it. It has given me a whole new view of you, especially Mr. Commissioner. I've called in once before and said the same thing. You are very open in this dialogue, and it's terrific. It's a breath of fresh air, and other sports can learn from this.
Well, thank you very much. And by the way, despite what you sometimes may read about me, I'm always open.
Well, that's good. And the fact that you're a classic rock fan really rings well with me.
Well, it just tells you I'm a human being. I know this will shock some people, but the people that know me actually think I'm a pretty regular guy.
Yeah, well, it seems that way to me, and I really appreciate
thank you.
It. It's great.
Thank you.
First off, great season this year. I watched the playoffs more this year than I have.
You're cutting in and out. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, but it's back in.
Good. Turn your head the other way.
I'm a Leafs fan, and I still watch the playoffs more than I have in years.
Great.
Year.
I'm glad to hear that.
It was fantastic final. I loved it. And for people who bash the officials, they have the hardest job in professional sports. To be able to officiate this game the way that they can is kudos to the league and the way that they train the officials. And last thing, if I may, I have the NHL Center Ice Package, and I sat down this year to watch, even though it really didn't mean anything, the Leafs and the Senators at the end of the year. It was made a pay-per-view game, and I couldn't get it on my Center Ice Package. Now, I called Bell Express View, who's my provider. They helped me with it, but my question to you is twofold. One, I'm still here.
I'm listening.
I'm a Leaf fan in Nova Scotia. I cannot get Leaf TV, even though I'm willing to pay for
right.
it. Okay? And secondly, how is it possible that a game that is on center ice can be made to be a pay-per-view? I will hang up and listen. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you. With respect to Leaf TV, the Leafs are only allowed to distribute Leaf TV where they're allowed to distribute their games locally, and that's why you can't get it outside of Leaf Nation when you're in other parts of the country. With respect to a pay-per-view broadcast, just because a broadcast is pay-per-view in the market, either Ottawa or Toronto, my guess is if it wasn't on center ice, we somehow didn't have the ability to get the signal up on the satellite. We will check into that, but my guess is the reason I just gave you is probably the reason it wasn't that because we didn't charge pay-per-view. That has nothing to do with it. My educated guess is we didn't have it up on the satellite, that on a pay-per-view basis they weren't putting it up on the satellite. And as a result, it wasn't available, but we'll take a look at it because we try to get as many games as possible available to our subscribers on Center Ice who are out of market. Bill, you got some business you need to attend to?
Yeah, we got to catch our breath. We're going to step out. We thank all of the callers in advance. Appreciate your patience. We hope to have Jerome McGinley, the captain of the Calgary Flames and finalist for the Hart Trophy, with us when we come back right here on the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice XM 204. And NHL.com.
If you like talking hockey with your friends, you'll love talking hockey with Commissioner Bettman. NHL Home Ice, XM 204.
And welcome back to the NHL Hour. I'm Bill Clement. I'm here in New York. Commissioner Gary Bettman is in Toronto, and it is so special when a player that exudes excellence on the ice exudes class off the ice, and he is a finalist for the Hart Trophy. The award special tonight at 8 p.m. out of Toronto, and Jerome McGinley is the man, and I believe that he is either with you or on the phone with you right now, Gary, is he not?
He's with me spiritually because I know he's somewhere in Toronto, but he's on the phone. Jerome, are you there?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing great. How are
Good.
You doing? You're up for the Pearson tonight and the Hart. Are you nervous?
well, I'm very, definitely very honored and very excited. Both awards are very special and means a lot to me that players around the league that compete against and have a lot of respect. I have a lot of respect for them, and I think it's a great group of guys and very unique how you can battle so hard on the ice and then have that respect for each other off. And voted me a finalist is a huge honor. The media it's so many guys who had a great season throughout the year, so it's a huge thrill to be here for sure, and just enjoying it. As far as nerves, I'm actually not as nervous as I've been in the past to be here because certain reasons.
You've done this before.
I had the chance to be here before, and that's part of it. But I think Ovechkin's a pretty clear front runner, and really does deserve the awards. Malkin had an amazing season too, but Gary, didn't you release it a little bit ago that he'd already won?
No. We had nothing to do with that. By the way, they make those T-shirts for everybody.
So there
are Ginla T-shirts floating around that just didn't get the publicity. It's the same thing that we do for the Stanley Cup Final and the conference championships when you have to have T-shirts for all possibilities. But seriously, you had a great year. You had 50 goals and 98 points, and I think you were third in the league in both. What kind of year, how do you evaluate Calgary's year as a team?
Well, I think, I do think it was a good year for the team. I think as an organization, over the last 4 years, we've been in the playoffs, we've been competitive. So on one note, that's something as a group of players and organization we could be proud of. It's really tough to make the playoffs. You see how many good teams are on the outside looking in, and so we've been doing that right. But on the other hand, to be honest, we want more. I mean, we want to win. We want to be there later in the playoffs. We want to be competing. And even though we made it, there's a lot of positives, but we still, as a group of players, and I know our city and our fans, we want to get better and we feel we can get better.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the city and the fans. You probably could have gone anywhere, and you've decided and made a commitment long-term to stay in Calgary. Tell our listeners your thought process and what Calgary means to you.
It's a number of reasons. I would have been unrestricted, this upcoming year. In July 1st, if I hadn't signed last year. And, as a player, getting a chance to be unrestricted, it can be exciting. There's a lot of great cities to play in the NHL. But personally for me, Calgary is a great NHL city. Players who play there really enjoy it. Talking to them, some even after when they've moved and played in other cities that are great too. They really have a lot of respect for what Calgary has to offer, and the fans and the passion. It's something that to play in a Canadian city with that energy, the way fans follow the game and to have a chance to win there. And the biggest thing is the chance to win. And all the other things are great and a huge part of it and being a good family city. But a chance to win is at 30, turning 31 in a couple weeks, that's the biggest thing right now. Like I say, there's a lot of great cities, but I think Calgary has a lot of good things going as an organization. Dion Phaneuf up for one of the best defensemen in the league,
yep.
One of the best goalies, and there's a lot of good things going on with the team and want to win there.
So you think Dion's nervous, remembering back to your early appearances at the awards?
He's been here, I guess, for the rookie of the year.
Right.
But I would bet he's nervous. Yeah, I would be, with the... you know, it's something that I think, you know, he has all the Dano Chara and Lidstrom and him, they had amazing years, and I don't know who the favorite is there. And, you know, I guess it might be Lidstrom because he's won four in a row or whatever it is and how amazing he is. But I think Dion does have a legitimate chance, and he'd be a very deserving winner.
No question. A lot of people have written and talked about what it's like to play for Mike Keenan. What's your view of Mike as a coach, and was there much of an adjustment for you when he came into Calgary?
I heard a lot of the things and tried to check him out with a few teammates before, guys I'd played with past or played with him before, I heard a lot of a lot of similar stories and a lot of unique ones as far as the style. You know, I remember hearing that he likes to shake up. Usually you sit in the, you're in the locker room and you have the same seat all year. And you just get used to that. And I heard that he not only he's shaken it up in the past, but if it wasn't going good or maybe a guy was in a slump, he might be dressing outside in a corridor or something, So you see a guy would be yelling, "Did I really play that bad? Am I on that?" There's a lot of fun things that, you hear the stories and stuff and how intense he is. But he's a good coach. He's one of the winningest coaches of all, of all time. And he's still very intense. I think from talking to guys who play with him now, who play with him before, maybe he's mellowed a little bit, which is hard for us to believe who have him, because he's definitely still very intense. But he's been good for our team. He brings a lot of confidence, and we're going to keep getting better.
No question. Mellow is a relative term. There are some people who think I've mellowed, and I see them. People laugh when they hear that. One thing that people probably, and we're talking to Jerome Iginla, of the Calgary Flames, that people really haven't had a chance to focus on. You were one of the people on the original competition committee when we came back from the work stoppage, you and Rob Blake and Trevor Linden and Brendan Shanahan and Marty Brodeur. Talk about, your recollections of that process and how you think all of these changes that were made 3 years ago are working.
When I got approached by Brendan Shanahan to be a part of it, it was a huge thrill, and I was, extremely honored to sit in the meeting with all the players and the GMs and be a part of it was very exciting. And, it was exciting time for the game, that the players and the management and the ownership were going to work together to try to really have a good dialogue and come up with different ideas to try to improve it. And I think there's been, I think it's been really good for the game. I think as a player, it's more fun to play. I think the referees have done a good job with finding the consistency between the hookings and we as players are adjusting and there's more, it's a faster game and more of the skill is able to be displayed. But what's funny is one of the rules I think is one of the best rules, and I know this, a lot of people don't agree, is flipping the puck out.
Yep.
When I first came into the league, a D-man would come around the net, and if he didn't have a play, the coach would yell, "Just hard off the glass, hard off the glass." Now I thought it took a little bit away from the skill, and wasn't that exciting to watch or even be a winger on the boards when it was coming around. But so now I think is more, with not wanting to risk putting it out, you see a lot more skilled defensemen making plays coming out of their own zone, and if they don't have a play, it maybe becomes a turnover. And a lot of them do. Every team runs into an unfortunate situation, but I still think that is I'm a big fan of that rule and hope it stays.
No, I certainly don't see any reason to change it, and I think actually when most people analyze what it means to the flow of the game, people agree with you. Have you gotten over, or how long did it take you to get over Game 7 against San Jose?
It's tough. I'm having a harder time getting over Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final and against Tampa Bay years ago that we didn't pull out. But it's part of playoffs, and I really thought we were going to win that series this year. And San Jose's a good team. They had a great regular season, and they found a way to come back and win Game 6 and 7. So it's always tough. It's always tough throughout the summer. But there's a certain point kind of. It's usually when the playoffs are over, you start thinking about next year and stop, kind of dwelling on this year. But at the same time, watching the playoffs and seeing how good Detroit is and very deserving champions, and Pittsburgh's run and being a young team, and you know how both teams really play with the puck and the puck possession game that Detroit plays, and you know, you see that as a team, you know, we want to improve our side of that too, and you watch, you know, Detroit and the success they've had, and realize, you know, they do some great things, and you know, we can improve in some areas too.
How do you typically spend the summer? What do you do with your time off?
I spend the summer with my family, my wife, and we have two little ones. We have a girl who's turning 4 in October, Jade, and our boy Tej, who's turning 2 in August, and we have another one who's coming in middle August. So it's busy right now. We spend it out in Kelowna, BC, and between there and St. Albert, Alberta, which just outside Edmonton, and just training and trying to do family time, because during the year a lot of it is geared for preparation for games and you know, family helps me get ready and things like that, and in the summer it's a little training in the morning and like I say, family time and just getting ready for another year.
Sounds all good. I'll let you go put your tuxedo on, and I'll see you in a couple of hours.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Gary.
Hey, good luck. Good luck this summer, and good luck on the birth of your third child.
Hey, thanks a lot.
What a class act, Jerome McGinley. He obviously loves Calgary and the surrounding area. You can imagine that the fans in Calgary love him just as much. When we come back, we will open up the phone lines again. 877-645-6696. This is the NHL Hour on NHL Home Ice, XM 204. We can tell who's controlling the music today, can't we, Gare?
Well, because it's not Southern rock, you're going to complain.
I'm not
going
to. I will not complain. I love it.
I was just handed an email. Let me read it to you.
Let me jump at the phone number first. 877-645-6696. 877-645-6696. What's the email say?
Okay, it says, I was wondering if it was possible in the future if Gary Bettman and Bill Clement would have a show where they played music they enjoyed and discussed the music. During their show on Thursday afternoons, this was an email to XM, not to me or you, when music is played during the breaks, their discussions are quite humorous and interesting.
You thought the last time I brought this up, you said, who wants to hear us talk about music?
I understand. Well, I think what we'll do, If I get a spare moment, instead of taking a Thursday block, we'll take another afternoon and we'll try this for an hour and make believe we're disc jockeys. You know,
like branch out, man.
Yeah, right.
This would be great.
This would be.
By the way, we got to mention. No. That would be our opportunity to be silly.
No, I think that would be an opportunity for us to make fools of ourselves. But it's okay because it'll all be in fun.
Right.
Exactly. On that note, right, let's take Scott in Detroit. You're on XM 204 with disc jockeys Bill and Gary.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're good. If you're in Detroit and you're a Red Wings fan, you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I am a Red Wings fan.
There you go. Congratulations.
But I do have to say, though, that I would rather see a good game of hockey than the Red Wings just going and annihilate a team.
Well, you know what? It's about the entertainment. Well, by the way, were you one of the 1.4 million people that went to the parade in Detroit?
No, I wasn't. I'm actually a truck driver, and I wasn't even in Michigan. And I was crying every mile.
I gotcha. Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, the question I have is, you had made a comment towards the beginning of the show that you have to be careful about leading people on to believe that you care about the outcome of the game.
Yes.
Okay. Well, on that note, how come we never hear of these referees that make bad calls? We never hear about adverse actions against them. But when the players, you know, they screw up on or off the ice, we hear about it. It's all over the headlines.
Well, when the officials make a bad call, we're clear about it. If there's a call that we disagree with, we're clear about it. And the better officials don't get to continue to work in the playoffs. So as you see who is progressing from round to round, you see that the better working officials are getting rewarded, and those that aren't working as well or don't have quite the experience don't get to continue into the later rounds of the playoffs. We absolutely hold our officials accountable. They're constantly being critiqued. Somebody's watching from the league office standpoint every game as it's being played, because we want to make sure that we're comfortable with the way the games are being called and how the officials are handling themselves. This is as big a priority as we can have, and it's something that I know Coley Campbell and Steve Walkham take very, very seriously. Scott in London, Ontario, you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing okay. What about you?
Good.
Good. Thanks for taking my call, Gary. Second-time caller. I really appreciate you doing this season, and because this is the final episode, I was just wondering if you had a chance over the summer if you could look into the NHL Center Ice Package, which I've had for 3 years. Is it possible that we could have a choice of the feed? I like watching Randy Hahn and Drew Remenda out of the San Jose area, and a lot of the time when San Jose is on the road, I can't get their feed because it's the home team's feed. Is there anything that can be done about that?
That's a question of signal capacity. In fact, I think DirecTV in the United States has started, and Dish as well, have both begun the practice of picking up both feeds and giving the choice, depending on who your center ice provider is. And since you're in Canada, it's probably Bell Express View. My guess is that they don't yet have enough capacity to carry all of the feeds. Actually, I think XM carries both radio feeds, home and away. They only do one. Nah, during the playoffs, they do both, I think. My producer is correcting me. During the regular season, again, it's a question of capacity, and that's the reason. It's not that one's being favored over another. They just don't have the room to double up on all of the games. But as compression and other technology advances continue, my guess is they'll have more capacity to carry more of the games and give you the choice of both feeds.
Yeah, I'm hopeful about that. And one other quick question about center ice. This year I checked out the computer center ice. I noticed there was a sizable difference in the price for Canadian versus the U.S. subscription. But there was a little discount if you were already a center ice subscriber with your television. Do you know whether that's going to be made more affordable for the people out there that already subscribe to the TV center ice package to also pay a little bit extra and get it on the computer and have the Canadian dollar with the U.S. dollar a little closer?
You know, that's a great question. And what we're doing is we're exploring and experimenting. Center Ice Online is something new for us, and we're going to, over the summer, look at exactly how we should be presenting it, how it should be marketed, what we should be charging. And so I think that's a fair comment, and it's something that we need to focus on over the summer before we relaunch it for next season. It is a terrific service. I think you've found, in terms of, you can watch four games at a time, you can get all sorts of statistics simultaneous to watching the games. And so we know it's a great service, and we want to make it available to as many people as possible. And we've got to continue to evaluate what the best way to do that is. Why don't we take Joel in Minnesota? You're on XM 204, Joel, with Bill and Gary.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. What can we do for you?
I've had NHL Center Ice since the first year it came out. I don't know how many years that is now. It's quite a few. But what I was going to ask is, I have high def now and DirecTV, and am I going to be able to get that high def hockey show during the year since I have that NHL Center Ice?
Well, there are two things there. One, again, how many of our games, and about half, a little more than half of our broadcasts last season were in high def. How much is carried in the center ice package is a question of capacity as well. And all of the providers are looking for ways to have more capacity to show more of the games in high def. With respect to the NHL Network, That also is being launched in high definition as well. And who carries it when, which satellite or cable provider has it when, is a question of individual arrangements by satellite or cable provider, and again is a question of capacity. High-def signals require more capacity than standard definition, and the number of duplicate channels that are out there that are both in standard def and high-def is rapidly increasing, and all of the satellite and cable providers are looking at what they can do to increase their capacity as quickly as possible. But if it's important to you, I think that you should be letting your satellite or cable provider know that it's important to you, because if they get enough feedback, they're doing it. DirecTV will be launching, for example, the NHL, or has already launched the NHL Network in high definition. So if you're a subscriber to the NHL Network, you should be getting it in high def if you subscribe to DirecTV. Our next caller is Claudio in Westchester. Is that Westchester, Pennsylvania, or Westchester, New York? And you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
How are you doing, Commissioner? No, it's Westchester, New York.
There you go.
Yeah, I know. I think I spoke to you earlier in the season. I think it must have been one of your first three shows. Well, by the way, I just want to follow suit from the previous callers, and thank you very much. It was a great season, and also, again, thank you for your time. I think you rarely missed a show, and it shows your commitment to the league, and unlike any other commissioner. So I'm sure you can speak to all the fans. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being a repeat caller.
Yeah, and I'm a diehard season ticket holder and of the Rangers, and my question to you back then, and it still is now, if the rumors are true about the Blackhawks were awarded the 2009 Winter Classic, that the Red Wings will play them, or if it's still open in the Yankee Stadium, it's still a possibility. I'm just curious. Obviously, I think it would be a great event. So I'm just curious, and looking forward to your answer. And again, have a great summer, and I'm sure I'll speak to you in the new season.
Well, thank you, and I'll look forward to that. That'll be your third time calling, and that'll be great. The answer on the Winter Classic is no final decisions have been made, either as to location or as to what teams. We are exploring a couple of possibilities, and it's been no secret that we've been exploring the Yankee Stadium opportunity, and we've been exploring a Chicago possibility as well, among some others that we've also done some homework and due diligence on. Being the last event in Yankee Stadium would obviously be exciting and attractive, and it will have its challenges if we're able to pull it off. And there are some issues relative to the old Yankee Stadium and what has to be done to it, and its what will then be current state, and the construction for the new Yankee Stadium. And so a lot of this is up in the air, because there are certain answers that questions that we don't have answers to yet. We are in discussions with the Yankees. We are in discussions with the city of New York. And my hope and expectation is that we'll be in a position by the time we announce the schedule in early to mid-July to say what it is we're doing. I'm hoping it is possible. We might not yet even know then, although my hope is to bring this to a final conclusion one way or the other in the next few weeks. But no final decisions have been made, and we'll see what happens. Rick in Philly, you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hi there, Bill. Hi, Gary.
How are you?
Howdy. Doing great. Thanks for taking my call. By the way, I have a copy of the Buffalo Springfield album before For What It's Worth was released, the original one. Do you have that one, too?
I don't even know where any of my records are. Everything has been converted to either CD or digital download, but that vinyl, you must be keeping it in good shape if you can still listen to it without it skipping.
Well, it skips, but I can erase those mentally.
There you go. Actually, the skipping for all of us from that era is probably part of what we liked about it.
Well, it's part of the romance.
Yes, exactly, and the time.
Yeah. Anyway, my question is: I'm listening to the discussion about the size of the pads and the agility versus the space occupying aspect, and I guess I'm wondering, how do you balance the need to get the sport, quote unquote, more exciting for a new fan base versus, existing fans who maybe can appreciate the excitement of a low-scoring game and great D and all that kind of thing?
You know, that's a very good question. And you know, Jerome McGinley was on talking about the competition committee. We made some changes to open up the game because the sense was skill was being de-emphasized to clutching and grabbing and all sorts of interference. To me, it's not about how many goals are scored. It's more about scoring chances, the unpredictability of the game. You don't, you know, low-scoring games are great as long as you think that when a team goes up 1-0, there's still a chance for the other team to win the game. You don't want a style of play that's so stifling that you don't see lead changes. You want to know that every minute of that game, anything could happen and that the result is in doubt for as long as possible. The issue with respect to goaltenders is, have they made it so hard to score that it's impacting scoring chances? You're not seeing enough open net. It's a question of whether or not games become unpredictable. Now, happily, I think the changes we made 3 years ago are working well. Scoring chances are up, goals are up, lead changes are up. The game's faster, it's more wide open, and it's more entertaining. That, to us, is what it's all about. Now, with respect to the balance of goaltenders and what they wear and goaltender equipment, it's undeniable that the goaltenders are covering more of the net than ever before and that there's less open space to shoot at. As it relates to the fact that goaltenders physically are taller and bigger, I don't have a problem with that. To the extent that goaltenders are bigger because they're wearing more equipment than they need to protect themselves from injury, that's a different story, and that's what we've been looking at. But we have been very judicious over the last 3 years not to make lots more rule changes. If anything, we've been tweaking and fine-tuning just to make sure everything's working the way we want. Bill, do you want to add something to that?
Oh, only that I love the notion, and I've been a proponent of shrinking the goalie equipment because I don't like to see a goalie make a save by virtue of the size of his equipment as opposed to his athleticism. And if we can get to the stage where the goalie is rewarded for his athleticism as opposed to the size of his equipment, then I think you've got something that should belong in a sporting event. I've always felt that first of all, the position's been redefined, and the goalies protect the net as opposed to making the save, and they've been allowed to do that because their equipment is so fantastic. I would like to see more goalies make saves and simply protect the net, and I think they'll have to with smaller equipment. So I'm pretty bullish on the shrinking of the equipment.
To the extent possible without putting the goaltenders at risk, because they are so important to the game and to a team's success.
Well, also at one point before I die, I would like to see somebody threaten one of Wayne's records as well.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Good call.
Larry in California, you're on with Bill and Gary. This is XM 204.
Hello, Bill and Gary.
How are you?
Hey, it's a great day for Sharks fans.
Yes, it is. You got a good coach.
We have a new coach, and of course we wish Ronnie well in Toronto. But we also have Evgeny Nabokov up for the Vezina. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It is exciting. And he's up against, though, Lundqvist and Brodeur, so that's a pretty tough field he's up against.
Well, that says a lot for the quality of goalies in this league.
Absolutely.
Commissioner, I have a question for you. Does the team or the NHL control what is shown on the in-stadium monitors? In other words, we don't get to see, when we're at the game, we don't get to see replays except of goals. But if you're watching at home or in one of the luxury suites, then you get to see, you know, when there's when they go upstairs to review a goal, you get to see it from 40 different angles. So who controls that, and is there ever a chance that we'll see more replays now that we have these high-definition screens in the arena?
You know, that's a terrific question, and it's actually one that we've been talking about internally. My view is subject to an exception that two exceptions that I'll describe to you. I don't think our fans in the arenas should be disadvantaged in terms of what they learn about the game from our fans at home. The two exceptions to that are when video replay is ongoing, we don't want the building reaction to affect what the process of getting the right answer. So we tell the clubs, hold up showing the video replays of the video replay of a goal until the decision's made, and then you can go show it. And presumably, it'll be showing the fans why the call was made and that it's the right call. The second thing, the only other limitation that we talk about, is when an official makes a call, there are lots of angles that you can show. And frequently you can show an angle that doesn't support the official's call. We don't think that buildings should be incited against the referee's call. If there's a legitimate replay that shows exactly why the call was made, that should be done. But in terms of either inciting the crowd or prematurely showing video replay, we don't like that. Beyond those policies, it's really up to the clubs to show what they think is appropriate for the building to keep the building excited and alive and entertained. And I hope that answers your question. John in New Jersey, you're on XM 204 with Bill and Gary.
Hello, Bill. Hello, Gary. Nice talking to you guys.
Where in Jersey are you?
Thank you.
I got the opportunity to meet Bill at Detroit against Penguins game two of the Cup Finals, and Bill's always the first to point out class act players and such, and I got to admit that Bill is a class act. He autographed a couple jerseys for my kids, and I just want to thank him for that and for being available to the fans. And I told my brother I met him, and all I could say was, Clement, hands of cement.
Well,
he beats head of cement.
By the way, he is a class act, even if there's a cement factory. Are you a North Jersey or South Jersey guy? I'm trying to gather if you're Flyers or Devils or Rangers.
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Michigan, so I bleed red. Red Wings.
You're a displaced fan. Okay, you had a good hockey rooting season.
Yeah, I got to get the DirecTV to see all my games. I watch them all, and sometimes I don't get Kenny Daniels and Mickey Redmond on Fox Detroit, but I love my NHL. You're doing a great job with it. I'd love to say you impress me every year with you listen to the fans, you ask the fans. It's very important. None of the other commissioners are out there asking questions of what can we do to make your game better, and that's something you do, and it's very impressive. Got to commend you for that.
Thank you.
One question is anything being talked about on that competition committee about the Holmstrom rule, about the goalie interference?
Well, goalie interference is something that we continue to monitor. The goalies need to be protected physically against injury, obviously, and unnecessary contact, and they have to be left alone to do their jobs. And they have to have, particularly when they're in the crease, they have to have a fair chance to be able to play the puck and try and make a save. That's something we constantly review. If off the top of my head, I think a discussion of it is on the agenda for the competition committee. Don't hold me to that, but I think that's the case. But I think it's more discussional. I don't envision any fundamental rule changes. Of anything, it may be a tweaking of the standard. But the goalies need to be protected. They're playing music, Bill. I guess this is our swan song for the season. I want to thank all of our listeners for calling in, for having great questions, for giving us terrific feedback. I've had a lot of fun doing this, and I'm looking forward to being back with Bill in September.
Thanks, Gary. I am too. And don't forget the awards ceremony tonight. There's live coverage from the red carpet from 6 to 7 p.m. on the NHL Network as well as XM 204. Then the special at 7 p.m. versus in the U.S., CBC in Canada, XM 204, everywhere else in the world. That's it for the NHL Hour for this season. We look forward to talking with you next season.